Turn with me to the 26th Psalm. Psalm 26. It has been a very difficult morning physically. That always affects you mentally. A very difficult night. But the Lord enables me to get down here. And I am going to attempt to do that which I don't know that I've ever done it, but that is speak to you upon the entire psalm, which means that I cannot do justice to any particular verse in it. But I trust that by the Lord's divine help, by the Spirit of God, that He will help me and help you, that we might gain, if it be no more than a crumb, that you might go home with a crumb. I hope you're desiring that. Sitting here this morning, a word from heaven, and that God would do for the church what is taking place outside. Rain, once again, on our dry, barren hearts. Psalm 26, would you bow with me. Our Father, it was Thee that gave Your darling Son to put Him on that altar as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham got to loose the bonds of Isaac, and they both went home. You did not loose those bonds of our blessed Lord Jesus. And all the anguish, internal pain, a broken, melting heart, He suffered for my sins, for the sins of these Thy children who sit here this morning. And Lord, we would lift up, we would exalt His blessed name. By Thy help, we will give attentive ears, trusting that God might be pleased to speak to us again. And that will not happen unless there is intent of heart to be obedient. You'll skip over us. So I pray You'd help us. Glorify Thy great name. Edify the saints of God. Be merciful, my Father, to these that know Thee not, and bring them to true repentance, true God-given faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's kind of hard dealing with all the verses here very, very quickly. It's hard to pick out a theme. But having to do that, I suppose that it would be verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Has that any relevance or significance in your heart that you might utter the same words in sincerity? Now, beginning with verse number 1 and verse number 2, surely, and we know it did, it could only come, as this does, from a heart that has been quickened and made alive, and that knows that he's headed very quickly to an encounter with the living God. Now, the God that all of us will meet knows all things, even the very intent of our hearts. All things. The God that we will meet sees all things, hears all things, and holds us accountable. He will bring all things back at the judgment bar, unless we are in Christ. Now, judge me, this man who has met the Lord and is going, is speeding quickly along to a final, or I shouldn't say, to an encounter that he's never had on earth, that is God Almighty. And he pleads with this Lord, judge me. Only an honest and sincere man or woman desires that in time. One thing I want, when I depart, as best as I possibly can have and know, I want a clean slate when I meet the Lord. Judge me. Only an honest man, only a sincere woman would ever ask God to do that. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine, try, prove, make me to know, because God knows. Now, when David says, try me and prove me, examine me, certainly it is that he might know that which the Lord knows. Examine me in light, thy light, in which one day I shall fully stand. And there will be no crevice or no little corner in my heart or life that will not be exposed. So he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins. Now, Most of the time when you see the word reigns listed in our King James in the English, another word mostly used is kidneys. And you know that you've got at the lower part of your back two little organs that filter your blood and remove the excess fluid, leaving the right amount of water and minerals, or of salt and minerals, to carry back throughout your bloodstream. And a person with congestive heart failure, their heart cannot pump. And the one thing that is watchful and very serious in that person is that they monitor their kidneys, for a failure of kidneys means death quickly. Now, we've come up where we can with machines. We can cause them to act. If we catch it in time, that they've got bad kidneys. But prove within me that circulation containing the right amount of salt and the right amount of minerals needed in my bloodstream to make me a holy creature. Now, we're taking this over from the physical into the spiritual. I need that in my life that filters. And we got a lot of stuff in us. Excess that needs filtering out. So David said, try my reins and my heart. Now hold your place here. This may be, if I can rightly paraphrase one more, this may be the only place I ask you to turn. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And beginning with verse number 5. First Peter 4:1. Did I say beginning with 5? I did, I apologize. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind that you're going to suffer. That's that is going to bring out what John was talking about. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Rest of your life. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Here's how we walk before we met a crucified Christ. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's how we were. God said, you don't walk like you used to, for you arm yourself with the same mind as Christ. Now, when God saves you, here's what happens to all those outside the camp of true Christianity. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They will not tolerate you acting differently from them. If you're going to be different, they're going to kick you out of that society. What they see, it brings condemnation upon them, and they're not going to live with condemnation. So they think it very strange, but listen, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick, that is the living, and the dead? Now, dear souls, there was a time when the Spirit of God was active, convincing the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. There was a time when the Spirit of God was so moving in the church of God that the people of God lived with the reality of an encounter and giving an account to God. And that reality was not just words. It carried with it a weight and significance. But see, we've all lost the Holy Ghost as far as any significant works. The true God established in the hearts of men and women by the Spirit of God will keep you ever aware of meeting Him face to face one day. But the Spirit of God's absence, as long as He is with us, 2 Thessalonians 2, He prevents us from running with ungodly people, but His absence causes us to make a God suitable to our own wants and preferences. Those of you that have heard a few of Mr. Barnard's sermons, you may have heard the one where he and the pastor were invited out into the country to one of the deacon's homes. And he said, the fellow said, "Preacher, I didn't agree with what you said today." And Mr. Barnard said, "I kept on eating because I knew what was going to happen if I replied." And he said it again, and the third time he raised his voice, his face was red, and he said, "Preacher, did you hear that I said that I didn't agree with what you said today, and that the God that I worship is different than the one you preached?" Mr. Barnes said, "I knew I couldn't get out of that argument." Now here's wisdom. Here's that soft answer, Ty. He said, "Sir, I am sure that you are telling me the truth. The God that you worship is not like the God of the Bible." What about your God? We won't turn back, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, When God put man and woman in the garden to keep it, there was one command, and it said, "And the Lord God, Lord, Jehovah, supreme ruler over all things." He commanded the man, "There's a tree over there of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Leave it alone." Now, when you get to chapter number 3, the one name that the serpent never mentions to Eve is Lord. And when you find it, all letters capitalized, that means the supreme being over all things and the ruler. He never mentioned the Lord. But But every time his mouth opened, he mentioned God. Now the word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. It means a covenant and a loving God. And the serpent said, yea, hath God said. Don't you know that he's a loving God? Don't you know that that God that loves you would not restrict or keep you from that which would benefit you? And so he never mentioned Jehovah. He just talked about the God that loves. Now verse number 3. Psalm 26. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Joseph said, how can I commit that great sin against my God? You know, the one thing that has kept me over the years when I didn't want to go anymore, and the one thing so far that God has used to help me stay away from the very appearance of evil is those in my family that are watching me and you. I fear falling because of the harm that it would do here in the assembly. I wouldn't do that for all the money in this world. And so before our eyes, we try to keep God's loving kindness. When I would do evil, the love of God, God's kindness and God's goodness over the years in keeping me from falling into a great sin that would harm his church here, bring reproach upon his name, and possibly give license to all here to sin, is the loving kindness of God before mine eyes. And because of that, as David said, I have walked in thy truth. So the love of God. Now, before I make that statement, religion uses the love of God to grant a license for you to live as you please. But the love of God and the loving kindness of God before the eyes of his children, it's like the gentle reins that are hanging down by the side of the horse running from the mouth all the way back to the stock that you're plowing with. And a well-trained horse or mule, you never have to use the reins. They act by your voice. And the children of God have got those gentle reins hanging around us. And we don't want God, as David later said, Lord, guide me with thine eye, lest I be like a mule, where you have to yank the reins in my mind. Just I want to be so sensitive to the voice of God that God doesn't yank out my teeth, getting me to go to the right or to the left or to stop. Or go move at the kind, gentle words of my Savior, the loving kindness of God. Now verse number 4. I have not said were vain, wicked, ungodly. He'll bring that up again a little later. Not say it were vain persons. Neither will I go in with those dissemblers. Vain. Vanity. A bubble. Go pop. Vain in that their interest is only in temporal things of time, of natural sense, and that which guides them other than the loving kindness of God. I didn't sit with them. Now here's the verse. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Walk. You get to a stationary place and you stop. There you stand. And you get so comfortable with these that you just take a seat with them. Vain persons, ungodly, wicked sinners. Now go sit with them. Now go walk with them. Nothing good can come. So a vain man is a man or woman with an empty, empty heart. And our hearts are like the earth was in the beginning. It is void and without voice, just empty. And we're all, and if you're not careful, you'll spend a lifetime looking for things here to fill up the void. But if you are sincere in these things that you hold to, then the loving kindness of God, the great pain and sufferings of the Lamb of God, these things keep you, and these things fill up that emptiness within. But you know what every one of us think? We are stronger, more able to direct our steps and uphold ourselves, no matter what company we keep. I guess this would be a little running after Wednesday night's message, where God said, don't you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Similar here. We all think we're stronger. I am able to listen to the noise of society. I can hear what vain people are talking about and what everything out there, the noise all around me, I can listen to that and not be affected. You're deceiving yourself. None of us are that strong. Verse number 5. I have hated the congregation of evil doers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, every one of us in our mind, we have determined what wicked is. And if they don't commit great sins against society, they're not wicked. God begs to differ with you. A wicked person is just a person outside Christ who's seeking his own ambitions and desires and lusts and following the world. Well, I'm a dedicated Christian, and my friends and my co-workers and the TV and the radio and the music on my iPods or whatever, it has no effect upon me. You're wrong. You're deceiving yourself. And you're filling up your mind. And when you lay down to sleep, and when you rise up, your mind is so filled with the noise all around you that God is nowhere to be found. David knew better. I will not sit with the wicked. I will not walk with sinners. I will not stand with evildoers. I'm not going to. David knew better. You are affected by everything out there, and if you don't get a little of this out of your mind, that's going to be what directs your heart. Verse number 6. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. I'm going to keep clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. How long has it, honestly, as you answer this, been since you communed with the Lord? How long? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The verse the Lord brought to mind this morning that maybe to know that He'd help and I'd get through this. I will look unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now think of all God created. And God said, I'll help you. And you younger, you are more, well, all of you are more in the world than I. But you younger are coming along the time where the silence of God has permeated all around us. And we think because God does not convict that it's okay. The Lord kept silence. And you know what men and women think when God keeps silence? God is altogether such a one as I am. I tolerate that. God is silent, therefore God must tolerate what I do. And we form a God in our minds. David knew better. I'm not going to sit with vain persons. I'm not going to sit with the wicked. I'm going to wash my hands in innocency. Verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous work. Paul knew better. Listen, folks, what runs through the mind stays there. Except that which is spiritual And we have to work to keep that upstairs. The thought of God. It'd be gone in a flash. That verse that meant something, it'll be gone. You have to labor to keep it there. But not what the wicked say. It just lingers and lingers and lingers. And the only way to get help from that is it must be replaced with that which is right. I can't sit with the wicked. I can't run with the crowd of evildoers. Though I do not commit the sins that they commit, it still has an effect. So Paul, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, true, honest, just, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue in these things, think on them. And Paul, knowing the weakness of human nature, 2 Thessalonians said, we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, in the highest name I can pull down, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. And now verse number 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Dear children, is there anything in you that resembles to the smallest degree that I love the habitation of God's house? Israel said, I'm tired of the Sabbath. It's a weariness. When will it be over so we can get back to doing what we like? If there's anything in your heart, anything, that throws the least shadow of guilt within, you cannot say, I love the habitation of God. Are we earnestly pleading with God that one more time, that this might be the habitation of the holy God? Second phrase, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Right now it is at a low ebb as to our honoring God. Does it bother you? Are you pleading with God that this might become a place where we know God met with me there today? But if within there's, it doesn't have to be a great doubt, the least bit of doubt that you've failed God, sinned against God. You can't say, I love God's house. I love the place where God's honor dwelleth, because you really don't. Not till you've got clean hands and a pure heart. Because of the condition of society in which we live. When I say if you've got the least bit of guilt, that frees 99% of everybody, because we aren't guilty. We don't feel guilty about anything we do. we can justify. There were two men in Esther, Bigthan and Teresh, that plotted the murder of the king. Can you imagine the dread and the fury when they were summoned before him? They weren't able to carry out their evil deed. But both of them were hung, just because they wanted to do it. On Mephibosheth, crippled, little lad, young man now, if he gets anywhere, somebody's got to carry him. Messenger sends word, David wants you at the court. Now the one thing that always happened when a new king went in, took over, every person in the lineage of the old king was murdered. They didn't want any rivals. Didn't want any of his children someday rising up and overthrowing them. Can you imagine the night before, or ever how long he got that, and the time that it took to get to the court, and there he comes in a wheelchair, somebody brings him in and sits him down. Can you imagine the fear in that young man's soul? Every king kills the children of the former king. But David said, Mephibosheth, fear not. I didn't bring him here to kill you. It would be good that if we could go with fear and trembling to the throne of grace, and if in that condition you can go, you will come away with the voice of God in your soul. Thou art forgiven. Thou art cleansed. And then you could say, I love the house of God where his habitation is. I love the place where his honor dwells. Now closing out. Verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Gather not my soul with sinners. David knew the frailty, the weakness of human nature. Nor my life with bloody men in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll bribe you. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me as a saved man, and be merciful unto me. Your soul, the name of God's been so distorted as to his character and true identity, that the greatest of sinners can boldly walk into the house of God. When we were little fellows, and the women, two or three of the women had a month assigned to them where they had to gather and clean up the church. And one time, whoever it was, we decided we'd get up there behind the pulpit. And our moms called us down quickly. Now, this is not a sacred place except for the declaration of truth. But they had an honor for the house of God that's all gone. And we can walk into the house of God having covered over our sinful faults or deeds, unafraid, without any concern whatsoever that God might slap us down. No. There'd be more dread in a man that got drunk and ran into somebody's house and crippled somebody. There'd be more dread in him facing a near man than there is in us facing God. I love the dwelling place, habitation of God, the place where His honor dwelleth. So because of that, I plead with the Lord that He not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand, they got it behind their back, and they're not telling you all, is full of bribes. Now close with verse number 12. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Now Solomon, the son of David, made a statement that all of us know in the natural. The legs of a lame man are not equal. But now listen to what David said. My foot standeth in an even place. We want to run with the world for a while and have our foot there, and we want the other foot honoring God. We're crippled. You cannot influence anybody out there. None. Well, I know that by my life and conduct. No. If you're compromising, you got a foot lower, and over here you're trying to serve God that you got a foot, and so you're just in an uneven place. David said, my foot, I got them both planted solid on the rock. If I say something, I do it. If something is wrong, I omit it. Because I'm surrounded by the loving kindness of God. But in my walk through the world, I need the time when I can get back to the place of a holy habitation of God and where God's honor dwelleth. Folks, I know this. 2 minutes after the service is over, this is going to be gone. If God doesn't help you. And you're going to replace it. All the time walking like a lame man. 1 foot 6 inches shorter than the other. Would you come on to serve God with all your heart? Would you?